Well, good morning and welcome to Stoke Green as we begin to look at our Christmas playlist as we look at some of the songs that we find in Luke's Gospel. And we're beginning this morning with Mary's song. This was from the service on the 19th, so I'm just recording it in case you weren't able to be with us. We're going to read from Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 following. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this was. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be called Great, the Son of the Most High, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never fail." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her." And Mary said, and here is the song, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Well, we're drawing very close to Christmas now. I don't know what's your favourite music in your house at Christmas time, but in our house, Christmas hasn't really started unless sort of Michael Bublé comes on. He often gets an airing this time of year. I don't know, for you it might be Bing Crosby or Slade or Cliff Richard. I think it's okay to mention him again now. Perhaps you just simply love to hear the more traditional Christmas carols. But if we're not careful, even they can wash over our heads in the busyness of getting ready for what is often a very commercial Christmas. So in these four messages, I want us to see a different playlist altogether. We're going to take a look at these songs that we find in Luke's Gospel. Gospel means good news, and Christmas is all about the good news of Jesus, our Saviour, coming into the world in the form of a precious child. Right at the start of Luke's Gospel, he states his purpose for writing. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those from those who were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. Luke wants us to know that this that we're reading in his gospel is a factual account. This is no sanitized nativity scene that we might have in our heads, that which is probably far removed from the reality. We so easily sing along to Once in Royal David's City or In the Bleak Midwinter. I do love the music in that one. But here we are actually considering the significance of these events, the story of Jesus coming to mankind. These are events that changed history and are events that can still change people's lives today if we take them seriously. An archbishop was talking to the actress Jane Fonda. At some point, the archbishop said, "Jane, Jesus is the Son of God." She replied, "Well, he might be the Son of God to you, but he isn't for me." To which the archbishop replied, "Jane, either he is the Son of God or he isn't." And that's what we need to understand. What is the truth of the Christmas story, or is it all a make-believe story? Nothing could be more important than whether Jesus is the boy born to be saviour of the world or he isn't. I wonder, do you, like Mary in this reading, believe in Jesus as Saviour? "My spirit rejoices in my Saviour," she says. I wonder what it would be like if we had an encounter with God firsthand that enabled us to understand him more. That's the kind of experience that many characters in the Bible had. We think of Moses and the burning bush, or Isaiah and his experience of God in the temple, or John on the island of Patmos, given that vision of the risen Jesus at the start of the book of Revelation. Now, similarly, the Christmas story begins with God revealing himself and his purpose to this young woman, Mary. And it's this encounter which sparks the first song in the book of Luke. It's a song in which a young Mary, probably still a teenager, pours out her heart. It's often called the Magnificat. Now, if you watch any of those talent shows like X Factor or The Voice, occasionally the judge might say to a contestant, "You really connected with that song." In other words, what you were singing weren't just mere words to you, but they were an expression of the emotions. And that's actually what we find here with Mary. It's more than just a song, isn't it? It's an expression of her heart towards God. A young woman is going to have a baby, and there's nothing unusual in that. Young women are often having babies. I was looking forward to seeing my niece's new little baby at a family gathering in London, but unfortunately that had to be cancelled. But having a child is one of the most normal processes on earth. But this pregnancy was extraordinary, most irregular. Firstly, she was visited by an angel, Gabriel, who tells her that the baby she has conceived is from God himself. Mary has not slept with her future husband, Joseph. This is a virgin birth, and Mary responds in the way that you might expect any young woman to in such circumstances. She is anxious. She really kind of needs someone to confide in. And so she goes to visit her relative Elizabeth, who's also expecting a child. Perhaps we can imagine these two women comparing notes. If it was today, they might be attending antenatal classes together, or they might be comparing what they're craving to eat, or they might be asking, "Has your husband painted the nursery yet?" Well, that's not quite what's going on here. But nevertheless, there is support and help in sharing with each other. Despite her tender years, despite the huge shock she must have had to be chosen for this, she comes out with the most remarkable song. It's a song of faith. It's a song that actually shows us that even this young woman has quite a grasp on the character of God. We might have expected her to react rather badly to discover that she is pregnant. She might have been well concerned how people would view her. Pregnant before her marriage? Not seemingly a big deal in our society these days, but certainly it would have been in Israel. And how is Joseph going to react to this story that she is pregnant by God? Would he believe her? It seems implausible, doesn't it? Well, thankfully, we know that Joseph had his own experience of an angel coming to visit him and encouraging him to continue with the marriage. But we find in this young woman incredible hope and trust and belief. And in her song, she explains to us quite a lot about what God is like. And the first thing that strikes me in what she says about God is this in verse 46 to 48, that God cares about me. Verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." God has chosen me, implies Mary. What a privilege. He could have found a rich queen somewhere or a personality to have his baby, but God chose me, a humble, insignificant young woman. That's why my soul glorifies God, she says, because he cares for me. I may not be important in the eyes of the world, but I am important in the eyes of God. And I want to tell you this morning as you listen that God cares about you. He in fact cares about every one of us. We're told in the Psalms that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by him in Psalm 139. You might not feel that your life actually amounts to very much. You might not feel that you're very important or significant. But I want to tell you that God values you. He made you the person that you are. God cares about you. And then secondly, I want us to see here from what Mary says that God keeps his promises. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. This is huge. God uses Mary as an individual because he has already made a promise to her nation. Around 2,000 years before Mary sang, as far back as we are now forward in time, going back 2,000 years, God made a promise to a man called Abraham to make him into a great nation, and that through his offspring, through one of his children, through his seed, through a descendant, all nations on the earth would be blessed. And here we see that God has not forgotten that promise. Throughout the Old Testament, we have these predictions of the coming Messiah, many of which we're familiar with reading at Christmas. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You, Bethlehem in Judea, out of you will come a ruler for my people Israel. All these predictions and promises are now fulfilled in the coming of the Christ. And Mary would have been familiar, I believe, with these promises of the coming King. And now hers is the privilege of bringing this child, this Saviour, into the world. I believe we can trust the Bible because it holds together from the start to the end. In the same way that the Old Testament predicts the coming of the Messiah, it also predicts how and why he will die for us, to be our Saviour, to die for the sins of the people. God cares about us. God cares about me. And God keeps his promises. But thirdly, God cares for the whole world. There was a special purpose for Israel, but God's vision was much greater than that. It was for the whole world. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Anyone who fears the true God. Way back when God was speaking to Abraham, he said that through his seed, all nations on earth would be blessed. And of course, in John 3:16, we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God cares so much for us that he sent his Son for our salvation, for all who will believe in him. What is God like? Well, God is a God who cares about me. God is a God who keeps his promises. God is a God who loves the whole world so much, who sent Jesus. And finally, I want us to see this morning from what Mary says that God is mighty. Verse 49, "For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He has performed," verse 51, "he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts." God is gentle, kind, loving, but God is also mighty, like a warrior, extending his rule, achieving his purposes in the world. He turns the character of the world upside down. He humbles the proud and exalts those who are humble. He turns things on their head. If we become too self-important or so full of our own ideas and agendas, he can humble us. And he has done that throughout history. He has toppled rulers and empires. How the mighty have fallen. Mighty empires have crumbled away to virtually nothing. But if we humble ourselves before him, he can raise us up. And so I want to ask you to consider this morning, what are you chasing after? Are you chasing after wealth or more promotions or pay rises or this world's riches? You've heard the cliches, money doesn't buy you happiness and you can't take it with you. They may be cliches, but they are true. When life is good and we're successful and everything is running to our plan, it's easy to ignore our Creator God. How will He have to humble us to grab our attention? Without the intervention of His Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour, we will ultimately spend an eternity away from Him. He will say to us, "Away from me, I never knew you." But that same God wants to welcome and to lift up humble people, people like Mary, people who have come to an end of themselves. Are we willing to be like Mary, to admit our weakness, our inadequacy, and yet offering ourselves to be used of God in His service? God cares about you. God keeps His promises. God has a love for the whole world that can be effective in those who are humble before Him. He brings the humble to the forefront. He brings down the proud. It's a simple message. It's a timeless message. It's a personal message, yes, for Mary, but it's a personal message for you this Christmas. I pray that we would have a heart and an attitude like Mary, to realize what God has done for us through Jesus and to offer our lives in His service. God bless you.